Good evening. I'd like to welcome each one once again to our weekly Bible study coming to you from Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. I do want to thank you again for joining us and for taking this time even to come around God's Word to read it with us and then to study it. And I do pray that the Lord will richly bless each one as we spend this time together this evening. Just a couple of announcements, which is unusual. We haven't had announcements in a good while, but just a couple of matters to bring to your attention. Firstly, can we say that the FP Vision magazine, the bi-monthly magazine that we always get, unfortunately at this time, obviously all magazines are unable to be produced in the paper format. But if you're able to go online, the latest Vision magazine is there. If you go to fpvision.org, fpvision.org, and you go to the archives section of it, click on 2020, and you'll find the May and June issue there. So if, as I say, if you have access to the internet, fpvision.org, click on the archives bit, go to 2020, and you will also find the magazine there. And I encourage you to even read it, to go through it, and even be encouraged through the articles that are found in that magazine. So fpvision.org, and go to the click on the archives section, and click on the 2020, and then that'll bring you to the very latest May and June issue of our magazine. And then just in relation to the church services, can we say that at this time, the session, we've agreed that we're going to continue the services as they're going out at this time, over the YouTube, over the Facebook and sermon audio. And at this time, we're not looking at implementing or starting drive-in church, but we are keeping it under review and we'll watch as things progress even in our country. We're thankful that steps are starting to be made towards opening up society once again, and certainly we are looking forward to that day when we can join once again in God's house, especially where we can come into the building itself and we can sing together, we can read together, we can praise the Lord together. But just to bring it to your attention at this time, the services will be continuing as they are over the YouTube and over the Facebook. And we encourage you to keep sharing it, keep watching. And we trust that the Lord will bless and be with each one. And then just as a congregation, we do want to express our sympathy and our condolences and our Christian love to the Reverend Wesley Graham's family. The Reverend Wesley Graham passed away yesterday in around 2:30 in the afternoon, and as a congregation we have been remembering him in prayer and his family over these last number of months since he was diagnosed with the brain tumor in January. And we do thank God for him, we do thank God for saving him, we do thank God even for calling him into the ministry and for the many years of faithful service which he gave. He undertook many gospel missions right across this land. He also served as a minister in Bristol. And then, of course, the Lord greatly used him when he called him to the land of Nepal as a missionary. And we do thank God for how the Reverend Graham has been used. And we do rejoice that now the Reverend Graham is with the Lord in heaven. But I do encourage you to remember his wife, Carol, and the entire family circle in your prayers. Pray much that the Lord will sustain them and even uphold them and keep them in these days. Now we come this evening to our psalm for the week, and it is the psalm number 63, the psalm number 63. And I encourage you, if you have your Bible there, let's have it open and let's be following along in the reading and keeping it open even for the preaching of God's word. Psalm 63, it is entitled a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And the verse 1, it says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. But the keen shall rejoice in God, and every one that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Amen, and may God bless the reading of his precious word once again to our hearts. I've entitled this evening, the Psalm 63, as we study it together, I've entitled the message, David's Delights in the Desert. David's Delights in the Desert. Let's have a moment's prayer, please, at this stage. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. We come into thy most holy presence in and through the precious name and our person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee afresh for our Saviour, the one who loved us, the one who gave himself for us. We thank thee, O God, for salvation. We thank thee for sanctification. We thank thee, O God, for the security which we have in Christ Jesus, that we are being made more and more like him each and every day, and one day that we shall join with him forever. We do at this time remember again the Graham family. We thank thee, O God, that the Reverend Graham has finished his course. He has kept the faith. And Lord, we do rejoice that he has seen his Saviour face to face. We thank thee that his time of suffering and pain even now is over, and he is with his Lord forever. But Father in heaven, we do remember his dear wife Carol, and we do remember the family circle. We do pray much for them in these days, that the Lord will uphold them, that the Lord will strengthen them and keep them. Lord, we do commit them to thee. We pray, O God, for that help to be given at the funeral and at the various times throughout the year, whenever those special occasions and those days of hardship come, Lord, that thou wilt be very near and very close to them. Lord, bless, we pray thee, and even bless us now as we are around thy word, and teach us much of thee, encourage our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. Walter Craddock, he said, take a saint and put him in any condition, and he knows how to rejoice in the Lord. And certainly that can be said of David, that in the many unique and challenging circumstances that David found himself in over his life, yet he continuously looked to and he continuously rejoiced in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the salvation that the Lord had given to him. If you've been joining with us over the last number of weeks, and I do thank you for that, you will know the hardships and the trials that David faced, both before he was king, when he had to go on the run from Saul, and whenever he was in exile for that time, in and out of the caves, and even down into the land of Gath. And even after that, whenever he became king, the early years of his reign, those early days, there was a civil war which he had to contend with. And then at this time, and even as we've looked at other times, whenever his own son Absalom performed that coup and took over the throne. In Psalm 63, it informs us that David is in the wilderness of Judah. This means that this is another psalm, as I mentioned, which was penned during the uprising of Absalom. Psalm 61 was penned in the very early days of that uprising, but this particular psalm is in the midst of the uprising. David has managed to flee Jerusalem. He's managed to get out. He's got over the brook Kidron. He's passed over it along with his people. And now he's come into the wilderness of Judah for safety. 2 Samuel 15, the verse 23, the verse says, the king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And so those verses, or that verse in 2 Samuel 15, what follows after that is David coming and settling down to write this psalm. The introduction to this psalm, it gives us a simple but yet a very strong lesson to apply to our lives. It says a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Not even the best and the dearest of God's saints, And God's servants may have those times in the wilderness, times of separation, times of barrenness, times of waiting for the Lord to move. You know, it's interesting when you take a brief look through the scriptures at those who were blessed in the times of wilderness. To the world and to the outsider, you might think, oh, who would want to be in a wilderness, would rather be in a city, would rather be in a town, would rather be in a place of comfort. Why would anyone enjoy being outside and being abandoned, as it were, in a wilderness, having to come aside from everything? But yet the blessings that can be found in it. You think of Moses, Exodus chapter 3, it tells us that he's in the backside of the desert, and yet he comes to the burning bush and he meets God there. You think of Exodus 20. Moses, once again, he's in the Sinai desert. He's up the Mount Sinai, and yet at that particular wilderness and that particular time, the Lord comes down and the Lord gives to him the Ten Commandments. You think of Acts chapter 8. It tells us the Ethiopian eunuch, he met Philip, and he met Philip in the desert place. Philip had been in the towns. He had been enjoying the blessing of the Lord, but yet the Lord told him, go away from the town and go into the wilderness. And there the Ethiopian eunuch would meet with Christ. Galatians 1:17 tells us of Paul being in the Arabian desert for those 3 years. And in that 3 years he met continuously with the Lord Jesus. He was instructed, he was taught of Christ. Oh yes, there was a work for him to do, but first he had to spend that time away from everything and alone with the Lord. And child of God, never lament times in the wilderness. Rather, look forward to them. Look forward to those times when you're alone with God, those times whenever you're able to learn and to love and to look for God even more. Even our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, spent many occasions in the wilderness. Luke 5 and the verse 16 reminds us of one, tells us he withdrew himself into the wilderness and he prayed. It was a place of isolation, yes, but it was a place of blessing. Christ chose to go there. Christ saw the importance of going there, to come away from everything, to be with God. And oh yes, as I said, the ungodly, there's nothing appealing about someone going to a wilderness setting, but yet David delighted in it. There are four delights in particular I want to draw your attention to this evening as we go down through this psalm. I want you to see, firstly, in the verses 1 and 2, his appetite for the Lord. His appetite for the Lord. It says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. David, as he begins this psalm, he shows clearly what his yearning is for. And he also shows clearly where his yearning comes from. His appetite for the Lord comes from his faith in the Lord. And his faith is evidenced in just one phrase, and in particular one word, because the psalm opens up and it says, O God, thou art my God. And it's that word, my, in particular, which shows us clearly where David's faith is. His hope is in God. His faith is in God. His trust is in God. And in God alone, even though he's been driven out of his city, even though he's been driven off his throne, driven away from his palace, yet he never loses faith. He never loses that trust that he has in God. He still calls God my God. He still wants to be associated with Christ. He still wants to have that union, that communion, that fellowship with his God in heaven. He has faith. And what is faith? Well, as Hebrews 11 in the verse 1 it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's believing completely upon the Lord Jesus Christ, to have cleansed you from all of your sins by his precious blood which he shed upon Calvary. It's believing that you have a future, a residence in heaven with him. That's what David's faith is in. Whenever he says, O God, thou art my God, he is trusting in the Lord for his salvation. He's trusting in the Lord for his keeping, for his safekeeping, for his security. He is looking to the Lord and believing in the Lord for everything. Of course, it's important to remember that faith is a gift or a saving a grace from God, a person does not simply make their own faith. You cannot simply conjure up your own faith and make yourself to believe in something. You cannot make yourself to believe in God. Hence the disciples would pray to the Lord in Luke 17, verse 5, increase our faith. They realized we can't do it. We can't keep our faith. We can't build up our faith. We can't strengthen it. We can't even do anything with it. Lord, increase it for us. David's faith was in the Lord. And one of the main results of that faith, as we see, was a hunger and thirst for the things of God and the person of God. He puts down, or he writes in that there in the opening verses, he says, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and to see thy glory. He writes in the verse 1, yes, remember, he is in a desert. He's saying, my soul thirsteth. If he's in a desert, food and water is at a premium. But yet it's not the physical water that he longs for, but the spiritual. More and more of that water which Christ will speak of in John 4. That water that Christ alone can give, that we will never thirst again. More of the food which Christ states in John 4:32. I have meat to eat that ye know not of. What is that to David? What is the yearning that he has for David? Well, for David in particular, it's to see the power and the glory of God. And where had he seen that before? Well, the end of the verse 2, it says, as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. David remembers times of rich blessing. He was able to go to the house of the Lord when he was able to worship, when he was able to hear God's word being read, whenever he was able to see the priests offering those sacrifices which drew his mind and his heart afresh to the coming Messiah, and the sacrifice that Christ would make for him. David longs for it again. David, in that wilderness place, he's longing to be able to return to the sanctuary. He's longing to be able to go back once again and to experience all of those things that he had enjoyed even before. To be able to walk into the sanctuary where the Ark of the Covenant resided and to see and to experience God's power, and to experience God's glory. And surely that's something I trust that we can all identify with. That yes, even at this time, as we have been locked down for these number of weeks, and we look forward to that day, I trust, when we can join together once again in the house of God, when we can gather together to worship in song, to worship in the reading, to worship in the giving, to worship in the preaching, to hear God and to see God move, and to see God's power. Yes, David was in the wilderness, but yet his appetite was not for the literal food and water, but for the spiritual. Colossians 3, the verse 2, it says, set your affection on things above and not on things in the earth. And surely that's what David was doing. He wasn't simply longing for the material gains or those temporal needs to be met and even increased, but rather he's simply saying, Lord, I want to see you. My soul thirsteth after you. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let me ask the question as we move on. Is our appetite for the Lord? Is that what we long for every day? We get up in the morning, throughout the day, into the nighttime hours. Is it constantly that desire to see the Lord's power? To see the Lord's glory? Is it our desire even to have those spiritual blessings? To know that the Lord is near? His appetite. But then secondly, the verses 3 to 5, you'll see his adoration for the Lord. The verse 3, he says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. You know, it's wonderful that our love and our adoration and our worship isn't confined to a building or a sanctuary. It's wonderful even at this time that, yes, we long to be in the house of the Lord, but it's impossible at this time, but yet it doesn't restrict our love for God. Our love for God is not locked up inside the building. Our love of God is not kept in there under wraps, as it were. That love and that adoration for the Lord, it is found within our hearts and our souls. And David here, he's meditating upon God. He's meditating upon who he is. He's meditating upon what the Lord offers. And even reminds himself of the fact that in knowing Christ and experiencing the love of Christ is far greater than anything that the world offers. You look at the verse 3, it says, because thy loving kindness is better than life. And you think of all of the blessings. Remember, this is a king talking. This is a ruler upon a throne. This is one who had a place of power and authority. This is one who had people following him. This is one over the years who had enjoyed, when he was king, had enjoyed riches, had enjoyed fame, had enjoyed all of the comforts that the world could give. And yet David loved God, and he loved God's love more. He loved to experience the blessings and the care that Christ could only give. Now I think of the hymn, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. You see, that's the reality for the Christian. Oh yes, there are those in the world, and all they long for is fame and money and all of the material things. But let me tell you, there's nothing greater and there's nothing sweeter than to have the loving kindness of the Lord, and to enjoy the Lord's love even upon you. And David, there in the wilderness, he loves the Lord. He loves to praise the Lord. He loves to worship the Lord. Even though the priests were not there to lift up their hands to bless the people, or to lift up the offerings, whether it be the wave offering, the sheaf offering, whether it be taking the lambs in and taking the bullocks in and taking those sacrifices to sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat, all of those different things, yet David could lift his own hands up, not to sacrifice, but David was able to lift up his hands to show his prayers and to show the love in his heart towards the Lord, to show that the adoration to the Lord meant that he was truly satisfied. You know, the verses 5, it says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Marrow and fatness in the scriptures typify simply the finest of foods. Deuteronomy 32:14, Isaiah 25:6, they all speak of that same, the feeding of the finest of the wheat, enduring the fatness and the marrow. You know, it's a wonderful testimony. And it's a challenge even to us all when you consider David's circumstances there in the wilderness, and yet his love and his adoration is ever growing. See, we're to praise God in the good times. We're to praise him in the hard times. The words of 1 Chronicles 16:29 come to mind. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. And bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. May we never lose the beauty of the Lord. Wherever we go, whatever comes our way, whatever the circumstances that come upon us, whatever the Lord has in providence for our lives, may we never lose the beauty of the Lord. May we never take our eyes off him. May we never lose the reality of who he is. May we never lose the reality of what he's done for us, what he continues to do for us, even in the work of intercession, and what he will do for us in the future when he returns and gathers his people unto himself. And even that marriage supper when the bridegroom and the bride are joined together. And we live with him forever. May we never lose sight of that. And all of the blessings. And all of the glorious truths that there are in relation to Christ. The appetite. But then thirdly, I want you to see his awareness of God. His awareness of God. The verses 6 to 8, it says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. You know, it's wonderful to spend time thinking on how good the Lord has been to you, to count the blessings, to name them one by one. And David there in that wilderness has come away from all of the drum of life and the busyness of being a king and ruling over a nation. He's been set aside at this time. He's had to flee from his throne, his palace. He's much time to spend in thought. Even through the night, tells us he would stare at the sky. It's not a case of he couldn't sleep. It wasn't a case of David tossing and turning with fret and with worry. It was stress upon him. Rather, David is there, but he's there just simply looking up into the heavens. He couldn't stop thinking about his Lord. He couldn't stop thinking about everything that the Lord has done. You know, every tough decision that had to be made as king, every trying circumstance and situation that David had faced over his life, the Lord had helped him through. Every battle that he'd had to face, and there were many, both the physical, the mental, the social, the spiritual battles that David faced before he became king and even after, and yet the Lord's protection was round about him. David, regardless of what faced him, he sheltered under the shadow of God's wings. You know, it's a wonderful examination when we take time to remember the goodness of God towards us. We look back over our lives, regardless of how many years it's been. The child of God can just trace the hand of the Lord upon them. Trace how he watched over them. Trace how he kept them. To trace how good he has been to them. And David, he certainly had a long list of times when he was in very real danger and the Lord had protected him. When the bears and the lions came against the flock of Jesse, David was preserved and able even to drive those wild animals away. When he went down into the valley of Elah against Goliath, the Lord was with him. The Lord guided and directed that stone even to hit that place in Goliath's head to kill him. The many other battles that David had against the Philistines. Then his time whenever he was on the run from Saul. And Saul and all of those forces coming against him. And even when David had to go and hide in Gath. The danger that he was in there, and the list goes on and on. And David can say, if it hadn't have been for the Lord, I would be dead. If it hadn't have been for the Lord, I would have been defeated. You know, isn't it any wonder he says then in the verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. You see, when you've enjoyed the best, when you've enjoyed the most wonderful love and care, why would you go anywhere else? There's nowhere else to go. And David doesn't just follow. He writes here that he follows hard. He is doing his utmost. He's working his very hardest to keep as close as he possibly can to the Lord. See, there's nothing more powerful. There's nothing more precious. There's nothing more protective than the right hand of God. That's why he says in the verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. That's exactly where David wanted to be. That's exactly where David longed to stay for the remainder of his life. Isaiah 41, the verse 10, it says, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And David knew the protection. He knew what it was to enjoy the right hand of God even upholding him. Oh, I wonder tonight, wherever you are you under the right hand of God? Are you sheltering neath his wing? Are you enjoying the presence and the protection that only the Lord can give? Oh, what delight David had as he meditated on the Lord. What a joyful place to accept even the care, or what a joyful place it was for David to accept everything that the Lord could give to him. That care, that protection, that blessing even to know that the Lord's hand was upholding him. We've looked at the appetite, we've looked at the adoration, we've looked at the awareness, Then fourthly and finally, I want you to see the verses 9 to 11, David's acceptance of God. The final delight he had is acceptance of God. Verse 9 it says, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go down or go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes, but the keen shall rejoice in God. David had understood what had to happen in the future. Those who were against David, those who sought to take his life, David knew and understood they would be defeated. They would die. That would include his son. That would include his friends, who in the past had been loyal and close to him. Men such as Ahithophel, who at one stage had walked with David, even into the house of the Lord, at one stage had been one of David's closest advisors, and yet he had betrayed him, he had left him. But David in these verses, he's simply saying to the Lord, thy will be done. You know, some would say that this is an awful attitude for a Christian to have. They would say that it's awful that David is rejoicing in their deaths and in their demise. But if you look closer, he isn't rejoicing in anyone's death. As he says in the verse 11, he says, the king shall rejoice in God. And of course, we know that whenever Absalom is defeated in battle, that David did raise a great lament over him. And David did mourn for his son. But yet David rejoices in the Lord. He understands that these men that are against him are not simply against David, but they're also against the Lord. They're not just his enemies, they're enemies of God. He doesn't go after them himself. He asks God to deal with them. And ultimately God does. If you look at the verses in 2 Samuel chapter 18, the verses 6-8, it speaks of that battle. Whenever David's forces would fight against Absalom's forces. The verse 8 is very interesting because it says, the battle was there scattered over the face of all of the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. You might think, oh, the battle is between two forces, and that's it. Whichever army's stronger, whichever army's more tactically astute, then they're the ones that are going to win. But yet it tells us that the battle, actually, the most people died, not because of the other army, but because of the wood. In other words, the Lord. The Lord was there, and the Lord even used that which he had created against his own enemies. And this is what delights David in the desert, even before this battle would take place, that he is handing everything over to the Lord, and he is saying, Lord, the victory will be yours. Everything that is going to happen will be to thine honor and to thy glory. And all of the glory by all of the people must go to God alone. As he finishes the psalm, he says, the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. And they won't be praising the king. They're going to be rejoicing in the Lord. Proverbs 11, the verse 10, it says, when it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. Oh, David, here in this wilderness place, is much to delight in. Is such peace, such protection, such promises, such prospect even for David and for his future. He is completely in the Lord's hands. His eyes have been fixed afresh even upon the Lord. Even there in that wilderness place, he has met with the Lord. He is meditating upon the Lord. He is rejoicing in the Lord. And he is confident even in the Lord for his future. Yes, he was in a desert. The wilderness of Judah. But yet what an oasis the Lord gave to him. Child of God, Psalm 37, the verse 4, says, delight thyself also in the Lord. You find yourself in a wilderness spiritually. And even at this time, as we're in such a different setting, as it were, away from everyone, you wonder when it's going to end, and we wonder when things are going to get back to relative normal. But yet even in this barren setting, as it were, away from all of the normal activities, delight yourself in the Lord. May you have that appetite for him. May you have that adoration for him. May you have that awareness of him and who he is. That awareness of what he has done for you and what he continues to do. What he will do in the future. May we have that acceptance as well. That God is in control. That not one of his enemies will ever stand against him and defeat him. He has already wrought the victory upon the cross. And he has been told, even the Father has, God has said unto my God, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Every one of God's enemies, every one of those enemies of Christ, going to be put down, put under his feet. Now there's many things to delight ourselves in these days. To delight ourselves in the Lord. To meditate upon him. To rejoice in him. Oh, may that be the experience for each one of us even this evening. That we do meditate upon the goodness of the Lord. We do rejoice in what he has done. And what he is continuing to do. I want to thank you once again for joining us. And I want to thank you for spending this time even around God's word. I do trust and pray that the Lord has blessed it even to your heart. And as it is our prayer meeting night, do remember, even now in your own homes, spend some time in prayer. Seek the Lord. Give him the praise. Give him the glory. And even meditate upon him even further. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy word. We do pray that thou wilt write it upon each one of our hearts. Thou wilt encourage us in these days. That we will even know what it is to be still and to know that thou art God. Lord, remember us, we pray. Remember each one, Lord, of our families in the church. Remember each individual that listens into our broadcast. Be with them. We think of those unsaved. We pray for them that thou wilt save them, that thou wilt bring them underneath that wing of protection, that thou wilt save them and draw them unto thyself. We think of thy children. We pray for each one that thou wilt keep thy hand upon them and watch over them in these days. In Jesus' name. Amen.